Hello, and welcome to the first Clown's Corner podcast, the inspiration for which derives entirely from the father of multidimensional dialectical blended praxis, Steve Best. Before getting into the podcast proper, I would like to say a few words of appreciation for Steve, specifically for his website, where one can find a couple of extraordinary statements. First, that Steve has been banned from the UK for the power of his thoughts. And second, that he shows what philosophy means in a world in crisis. Since these statements do not seem to have been made about Steve by anyone else, they must be a self-evaluation, a judgment that is made by Steve about himself. Such a self-evaluation is beyond reproach, of course, since making such statements about oneself is a perfectly rational thing to do when no one else is willing to do so. And before anyone criticises me for saying this, let me say immediately that I do acknowledge the possibility that someone else may have made the aforementioned statements. Indeed, a certain argument by analogy strongly suggests this very possibility. For just as my mother thinks that I am special, so Steve's own mother may very well think that Steve shows what philosophy means in a world in crisis. Now, having offered these few introductory remarks, I will move swiftly on to the main business of the first Clown's Corner podcast. I would like to comment on Animal Rights Zone, a website that boldly claims to be promoting rational discussion in the animal rights movement. This claim has been strikingly proven, not least by the chats with Anthony Marr and David Stiebel. Another example of AR Zone's promoting rationality is to be found in a defence of that site by Roger Yates titled "The Operation of the Animal Rights Zone Chats," which can be found on his blog. This essay contains many arguments of an astonishing nature, most of which, however, I will not comment on now. Instead, I will focus on just one comment, especially representative of the character and colour of the piece as a whole. It is, namely, the claim that AR Zone is an attempt to foster an atmosphere of tolerance and acceptance and is not threatened by difference and diversity. Now, this rhetoric is taken from a specific context from which it has acquired its historical and cultural resonance. And that context is a struggle for gay rights, a struggle, incidentally, which I entirely agree with. The question is whether this rhetoric has any legitimate place in any defence of AR Zone. To answer this question would involve judging the distance between what Roger is doing at AR Zone on the one hand and the moral and political activities that inform our sense of the seriousness of respecting difference and diversity on the other. When we do this, however, we see that in speaking of respect for difference and diversity in the context of the abolition welfare debate, Roger has jammed the cap down over the wrong head. In short, the struggle for gay rights is not to be compared, not even by a social constructivist, to AR Zone's struggle to interview Matt Ball. To think otherwise would be to commit the sort of error that almost disarms criticism. It may be argued in reply that in using the rhetoric of difference and diversity, the moderators at AR Zone never meant to imply any connection between their struggles and those of the gay rights movement. Yet, this defence would come at the cost of depriving them of any justification of using the rhetoric of difference and diversity in the first place, that rhetoric being connoted inextricably with the struggle for gay rights. One cannot use such rhetoric while disavowing its historical and cultural connotations, not, at any rate, without spreading serious confusion. It retains those connotations whether one likes it or not. This leads on to my next point. When such rhetoric is used in the present context, it unavoidably evokes associations with a movement for gay rights. Associations with which AR Zone actually has nothing in common, despite its use of that movement's rhetoric, but which tend to inhibit criticism nonetheless, lest people should be accused of being intolerant of difference and diversity. Incidentally, in a recent essay titled Science Weighs In at Last, Campaigns for Welfarist Reforms Cause People to Buy Significantly Less Meat, Norm Phelps, former spiritual director of the Fund for Animals, claimed that we must respect one another's choices. The obvious response to Phelps is to point out that there is no general moral obligation to respect people's choices, irrespective of the specific content of those choices. In the context of vegan advocacy, in particular, when someone's choices reinforce animal exploitation, we would in fact be remiss in not criticising these. I would take that to be so obvious as not to be worth mentioning, were it not for the fact that Phelps never tires of telling us the opposite, namely that we ought to respect everybody's choices, period. Why would Phelps say such a thing? In accounting for this, one need only point out that the effect of such rhetoric is to discourage people from scrutinising and criticising the specific content of welfarists' choices. Now, saying that we ought to be fostering respect for difference and diversity in the animal movement is like saying that we must respect one another's choices, in that it also has an inhibiting effect on critical discussion. For who, after all, could be opposed to fostering respect for difference and diversity? Indeed, when people talk of respecting difference and diversity in the context of the abolition welfare debate, it conjures up the impression that in rejecting welfarism, abolitionists are doing something akin to discriminating against others, that we are threatened by difference and diversity at any rate. But such a suggestion is based on a pathetic confusion of moral and political spheres. The idea of fostering respect for difference and diversity presupposes a plurality of values, each of which is equally legitimate. In respect of human sexuality, there is such a plurality, since homosexuality and bisexuality are as legitimate and valuable as heterosexuality. In respect of animal advocacy, there are a variety of approaches, but with this crucial difference: they are not equally legitimate and valuable. This is firstly because welfarism is merely a political stance which one can take or leave without fear of being discriminatory. And secondly, because welfarism has been shown unequivocally to be wrong. On the other hand, perhaps I could say that whereas I thought that I should be fostering respect only for what I know to be right, Roger, by contrast, knows that we should also be fostering respect for what we know to be wrong. Perhaps this explains why he fosters a diversity of right and wrong at AR Zone, featuring an abolitionist one week and President Priscilla Ferrell of FOA the next. For of course, when one does a bit of the right thing, one must follow it up immediately with a bit of the wrong thing. Why, if we did not, we wouldn't be fostering difference and diversity. And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be respecting one another's choices. And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to be spiritual directors, like Norm Phelps. Moving on. A sociologist called Richard Twine was recently a guest on AR Zone. Reading his chat transcript was not exactly an experience that moved me to a spontaneous outpouring of unqualified approval. At first I thought that it was simply an all too frequent example of academic pedantry with its unaccountable quantity of opaque jargon, of which it really should have been divested beforehand so as to make the underlying thought more accessible to the non-professional audience at AR Zone. Then I thought to myself that this presupposes that there was some underlying thought to reveal. But what if there was not? What, indeed, if the jargon, which was supposed to be an indication of thought, in fact was a substitute for it? Then, to utterly strip away the jargon would not make the underlying thought clearer. On the contrary, it would constitute an act of self-annihilation. This, I feel, was why Richard Twine did not do without the jargon, writing instead in a language that strangely resembled English. Indeed, slightly paraphrasing, his performance on AR Zone reads like this. The liberatory project of animal liberation necessitates the existence of a coalitional, intersectional, dialectical movement with which to radically deconstruct the falsely mapped interlocked dualisms infecting the definitional project of redefining the very essence of our being as post-human human beings, an interventionist project on which the multidimensional trajectory of animal liberation imperatively depends. I will, of course, bear all this in mind when next talking to someone about veganism. Thanks for listening to the first Clown's Corner podcast. I will be back soon.